We've been doing this series called The Shepherd. Say The Shepherd. Shout The Shepherd. Come on, I got to work you second service. Say The Shepherd. Thank you. And one of the common verses in the church world that many people are familiar with is the 23rd Psalm. David penned it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We know that part. We might not know the other five verses, but we all know that first verse. If you've ever had a financial problem, you said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The cool thing is David was utilizing or using his own experiences. David was a shepherd. He understood what it meant to risk his own life to protect the sheep, to feed the sheep, to direct the sheep. He understood that. He was saying, God, the way I am for these sheep is the way you are for me. It was such an interesting thought that even Jesus in John 10 refers to himself as the good shepherd and laying his life down for the sheep and protecting and feeding the sheep. And we've talked about this series that Jesus is the shepherd of our lives. And even in that verse, very first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One translation says, I will not lack any good thing. He is as a shepherd or a provider. And you can go through that verse and throughout the Bible and find all kinds of benefits of having Jesus as your shepherd, as your Lord. And the key thoughts that we've talked about already is one, he's your shepherd by choice, not by accident. He's your shepherd by choice, not by default. He's not your shepherd because you just prayed and now you're saved and going to heaven, because there's a lot of good people who love God that are going to heaven, but choosing the rhythm of life or the choices of life not to follow the shepherd, but to do what they want. But if we want what he has for us, if we want the benefits of the shepherd, we have to learn to follow the shepherd. And that's a choice. That's why the Bible says, choose this day who you're going to serve. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I ask? There's a choice to trust him and to choose him. And you say, well, I've never met him. He's not here. He's in heaven. But John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Jesus is also synonymous with the Word of God. God has elevated his Word, the Bible says, above his name. He watches over his Word to perform it. And I challenge you like I do every week, don't take my words for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Choose to challenge everything with the Word of God, because it's the Word of God, Matthew 13, that produces the change in your life that we all need. Amen. And we're all growing in this. No one's perfected in this. We're all growing in this. Learning to choose the shepherd in the choices of life. Because it's just not because I prayed a prayer 20 years ago that he's my shepherd. It's because in the choices of life, I look for him to direct me. That makes him the shepherd. So we got to choose. He's the shepherd by choice. And when we start looking at the provision or the protection or the favor or the blessing or all the things that God's promised us as him being the Lord of our life, as the shepherd of our life, we begin to understand that, first of all, God is not a respecter of persons, and what he's doing for one, he can do for all because he's already done it at the cross. But Pastor, why do some people seem like they have or receive more from God than others? It's because some of us need to find out and get the revelation of who Jesus is in our life. See, if he's your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. But if you don't know Jesus as a healer, you're still probably not eating from that table. If you don't know him as your provider, and maybe your whole Christian life, you're in a church that told you that healing is no longer for today, and God doesn't bless anybody, and God wants you poor. And if you don't have a revelation from the Word of God as Jesus as your provider, then you might be struggling financially. So we have to learn to see him for who he is and learn to follow him for who he is. And when you follow him, you're going to find out to every promise, there's a condition. To every promise. We know the promises of God. We can quote the promises of God. We can say them when we need them. Oh, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But that's not really how that verse goes. But there is, and Paul will actually say, my God shall supply all of your needs. But we like to change it a little bit because we'll say, God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. And we exclude ourselves, sometimes without even realizing it, from the condition of the promise. And we get frustrated because we're not receiving the promise, but we haven't pursued the word enough to find out the condition. See, there's always a condition. There's always an action. James says it this way. Faith without works is dead, which means faith without any action of obedience doesn't produce a result. God needs for you to obey his instruction. Not, catch this, not because your obedience makes the result. We have to understand that. Your obedience to his instruction does not make the miracle happen. Your obedience to his instruction does not make God do something. Your obedience to his instruction does not fix the problem. And that's what if we don't realize that, that's where the devil hooks us up when God asks us to do something and the devil, and maybe he hasn't done it for you, I know he's done it for me, and the devil whispers in my ear or your ear and says, what difference will that make? Right? Has he ever done that to anybody? Forgive them, what difference? They don't deserve it. Give money, what difference does that make? I'll be real with you. Giving your tithes and offerings, 10%, the first 10% of your tithe and offering, if you have $100 and you give $10, the first 10, and then an offering, let's say $5 after that, giving $15 out of $100 causes you mathematically to have less, not more. Right? And anybody who ever has struggled with giving thinks that way. And every one of us have at one time thought that way. God, it makes no sense. I need more, and you're telling me from your Bible, from your word, to give. The tithe? That's 10%. An offering? Really? If I give, if I'm struggling with the amount of my money in the budget, giving money does not help me. It hurts me. Because giving your tithes and offerings doesn't fix the problem. Giving your tithes and offerings in obedience to him gives him permission for him to fix the problem. Bringing your tithes and offerings into the house of God and obeying God, what he shows you to do. That's why that's one reason you'll see around here, if you've been around a long time, we don't put pressure on people, we don't demonize people, and we don't parade people. You know what I'm talking about? We don't have a $1,000 prayer line, $500 prayer line, $100 prayer line, or $5 prayer line. We don't do that. We don't start with who's going to be the biggest giver and just parade it around. No, that's between you and Jesus. Okay? That's between you and Jesus. But the truth of God's word works. This is not, it's not, sure, some people have made it a gimmick. Some people have manipulated it and made it a game, and they've got into the world system and corrupted it into the church. I get that. But not every church is that way. We're not. We're not going to demonize you, and we're not going to parade you around. Okay? So there's no special seat for the biggest giver and no worse seat for the non-giver. Because I believe even if you're a non-giver, you're just one revelation away from obeying God in your giving, which means you're one revelation away from seeing God do what only God can do. So what? I'm back to my point. So if you're here and you're like, I don't believe it's all about money, you're trying to get my money, you stay there. Just why don't you pray, God, show me. Right? You pray, God, show me. You know what I mean? And let God show you. Because the truth is God watches over his word. So when God asks you to give, it's not because your giving makes a miracle increase. Your giving gives him permission to do what you can't do and only he can do. Peter stepping out of the boat did not make him walk on the water. His obedience to the command gave Jesus permission to empower him to do what Peter could never do on his own. That's what you understand. Otherwise, when God speaks to your heart from his word to do something, there's times it makes no sense. God, I need this, and you're asking me to do that, and that will not help me with this. He knows. And that's why he created a scripture in the Old Testament. Search it out. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own, which means don't be supporting on your own understanding the way you see things. In all your ways, which is choices of life, in all your ways, acknowledge him, which means look to his word, and he will direct your path. So when the shepherd says, follow me, there's a reason for it. That's what Jesus did when he was on the earth. He finds certain people and say, follow me, and they would follow him. Some didn't. The rich young ruler didn't. Not everybody did, but many of them did. He'd say, follow me. He didn't say, here's a book, read the 10 steps, and then come back. He said, follow me. We want the steps. He says, follow me, because there's something greater than the steps, and that's him. Because you can learn the steps without him, and you think you're getting ahead without him, but then you're out there on your own. And when you're out there on your own without him, because he's the one that gives you the grace and strength to stand and to be strong and to stay the test of time. Who wants to go all the way to the top just to come all the way back down? I mean, some of you are buying lottery tickets saying, that'll make me happy. Yeah, until majority of the people who win the lottery are worse off financially within 7 years. How depressing you thought you were before, and all of a sudden you just blew $150 million. Without him, you don't stay. He will keep, sustain, and protect your mind, body, and state in perfect harmony, balance, and peace because your purpose is stayed on him. That's what the Bible says. What I said, that's what the Bible says. And so when he gives you an instruction, your act of obedience doesn't make the miracle. It gives him permission to do what only he can do that you can't. And so when God says, do something, you're like, go help your neighbor. Well, they ain't helping them. They'll never get saved. Well, that might not help them, but it opens the door for God to do something. But let me talk the next few minutes to a group of people because, you know, God's designed each and every one of us with our own DNA and our style. And some of you have a style, and it's not wrong, it's just your style. Some of your style, you are intensely laid back. You probably can never get upset, always even keel, and you're probably never on time to anything. Do you know somebody like that? Don't point. Don't point. Don't look at them. It's not right. They're probably hard to offend, you know what I mean? We got to love those people, got to keep them around, otherwise you get everybody mad at us. Got to have at least one person like that, because then you know at least one person's not mad at you on your bad day. They're not ever in a rush. They're not, I mean, just even keel. God bless them. There's another group of people, you're more of an achiever type. You want things done, and you need things done, and you need stuff yesterday, never today. And you want him, and I want it now. And I mean, you get things done. I want to talk to you for a few minutes because there's a phase of our journey with God that we need to incorporate. So I do to-dos. I get so focused. I want to conquer my to-dos. I am happy when I'm conquering things and checking them off. And one of the challenges that I've had, even on Sundays, I can get so in the rhythm of getting things done that I'll walk past people and I won't even see them. I've offended people because I didn't say hi to them, and I didn't even see them because I was on course to get something accomplished. Anybody know what I've ever done that? It's like, just get out of my way. You don't like what I'm doing? Just move on. You know what I mean? You want to, don't try to stop me. You know what I mean? Just move on because I don't even see it. I'm trying to get things accomplished. And I've had to learn to slow down a little bit because it's not relationally beneficial to those close to me or those who I come in contact with on Sundays. Because I want to get things done. I need an answer. And there's been times in my life I've prayed, okay, God, I'm going into my prayer closet. I need an answer. And this is an important thing. And I'm not coming out until I get my answer. Have you ever been there? And I'll pray. And I'll pray. And I'll pray. And an hour goes by. And I'll keep praying. Nothing. 2 hours. Keep praying. 3 hours. And nothing. And find out. Have you ever noticed that if you pray long enough that if you allow your imagination can come up with an answer? You can sit there long enough and all of a sudden you're kneeling there long enough and all of a sudden you can come up with an answer. And I've been there. I've done this. Okay, God, I guess you're not telling me what you want because you think the answer I came up with is pretty good and I should go with that. And there I'm off running the race of another path. Hebrews 12:2, that wasn't set in front of me, not revealed to me from God, but something I came up with. David was like this. There was a time in the Old Testament where David was being faced with an opposing army, and he went before God and said, what do you want us to do? And God said, I want you to go and get your mighty men and attack. And David got his army together and went and fought and won and celebrated the victory. And in the near future, that same army regathered, regrouped, and they came at him again. This time David got his army, went out to fight him, and he lost the second time. And he went before God and said, God, what happened? You sent us the first time and we won. Second time we lost. What happened? And God said, I didn't send you the second time. See, that's the challenge of those of us who like to get things accomplished fast. Because we'll use the last direction as the current direction. And we'll just run. And some of us are beating our heads against the wall. And there could be a season of your life that you are working hard and you are working fast and you are doing what you know to do and you are banging yourself against this wall and you're going to run through it and all you keep doing is bouncing off it and you're getting exhausted and you're getting tired. And you're wondering, God, why aren't you showing me what to do? Just show me and I'll do it. I'll run full force. I'll get it done. I just need you to show me. And if you don't show me, I'm just going to keep running. Have you ever been there? What do we do when we're there? I think there's an amazing truth that comes out of the 23rd Psalm. Let's look at this verse. Verse 2 says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I want you to notice something. Notice how it's interesting how he writes this. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Pastures is a place to get some food. He leads me beside still water. That's a place to get some water. Sheep have slits in their nose, and if they go to drink water that they need and water that is moving too fast, they'll drown. The shepherd knows it, and he carves away a place just for them to allow the running water to detour to a calm place so that they can get what they need without hurting themselves. Some of us, we find ourselves, we're hurting ourselves because we are moving so fast, we move beyond the shepherd. We see what we want, and it looks amazing. We go for it, and we're not waiting for the shepherd. Moses had a revelation that God, even when you told me to, you'll send me in the promised land without you, and you'll send me with an angel, I don't want to go without you. I don't want to go ahead of the shepherd. It doesn't mean you hear voices all the time, and you have to have the direction of God on what you're going to eat for lunch, and you're looking if you should get an extra large or just a medium-sized soda. Come on. But there are some major decisions and goals in life that some of us, we are charging what appears to be good, but our ambition can get ahead of our shepherd. And I believe that there's a tension here that is subtle, but if we look, notice that he has to contend with us to feed. He makes me to lie down. And then he leads me beside still waters. We're looking for the next big thing. We're looking for the next great thing. We're looking for the next mountain to charge and the next battle to bring victory and the next thing. And it, you know, but Pastor, I can't slow down because there's people that are hungry that need to be fed and there's people that are hurting that I need to help. And as ministers, we can get into this. And there's always things that need to be done and there's the demand and need of people. And I'll tell you what, they have shown historically that there's on an average 150 pastors get out of the ministry every month. And I think this is one of them because we can begin to live at the expectation of the people and not the expectation of our shepherd. Because there's always, Pastor, I got to help this person, and this person's in a crisis, and this person's in a crisis, and this is happening in my community, and we got to be there. We got to be there. We got to be there. We never take time, and the reality is, my friend, you can be, I got to pay the bills, and I got to clean the house, and I got to help my family, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. There will always be bills. There will always be hungry people. There will always be people in need. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always, not diminishing the need, but bringing perspective that if we're not careful, we'll get out of balance. And we get out of balance, we are just trying to conquer everything, and we're constantly conquering, and we'll get exhausted. We'll become overwhelmed. Another translation to this verse, which I believe brings some more clarity, says, He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He lets me rest. Hebrews says there is a rest to the people of God. Now, some of you, you're resting all the time, 7 days a week, so you don't need to rest anymore. So don't go home and say, Pastor said I should take 5 naps a day. I'm not saying that. All right? We love you. We need you. You help us calm down a little bit. Some of us are like, we are like bottle rockets lit and we're running. And we're doing good things. We're doing important stuff. But sometimes if we don't learn to rest a little, we start losing sight of the shepherd. He says, he allows me to rest to start feeding myself. Notice this next verse in the King James translation and tells us the benefit. Because in the actual text, there was no chapters and verses. It was for our point of reference. It says, He restores my soul. That's the benefit. He restores my soul. Your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, needs some rest. That's why God created this context of a Sabbath, a Sabbath wasn't to be so legalistic that people are afraid of it, which is what Israel became, and they got all over Jesus when he healed people on the Sabbath. And Jesus spoke up and said, wait a minute, the Sabbath was created for man. Man wasn't created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was there to help us, because if we're not careful, we'll try to do everything all the time and we can get overwhelmed, and you still live in this earthen vessel. This is very practical, my friend. We still have this treasure in earthen vessels. We still have this physical body that decays day by day. And even though our mind and our spirit can be renewed day by day, we have to learn to allow it to rest. We got to bring our soul to a place so we can be refreshed, because some of us are trying to find the good thing, find the God thing, pushing for the next thing that God is doing, and we're trying so hard that we're overwhelming ourselves. We're exhausting ourselves. Oh, I gotta work. But there's also time to rest. See, if you're an achiever, you love the verses that we gotta work while it's day. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. Those are good verses, and some of you resters 7 days a week need to study those. But some of you achievers need to learn also there's a balance. Have you ever noticed to bring things in balance? He needs you to be restored. If you're struggling hearing the voice of God, maybe you're pushing so hard you push past the shepherd. Maybe one of the things I would encourage you to do is find some time to get some rest. We'll talk next week what's some of the spiritual benefits to that. But notice here, he restores my soul. He restores another translation. Let's throw that Message translation says, God is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me in quiet pools to drink from. True to your word. That's the verse I want to focus on there. True to your word, you let me catch my breath. I like that. True to your word, you let me catch my breath. Have you ever seen professional athletes? Let's say the NBA was playing. Talented, gifted. They look amazing until you actually go to a game and watch them. When you can look amazing on the court against other athletes at that level, it's a whole different ballgame. You bring an NBA player out on the playground with average players, and they are going to look like Superman. So the competition. But you watch them, and they're great. They're amazing. They're quick. I remember years ago having the opportunity to go to a Chicago Bulls game, and the only problem was it was the year after Michael Jordan had retired. Can you believe that? But you know, one of the things I thought was amazing was how quick Scottie Pippen was. You're like, who? See what I mean? He was in the shadow of Jordan all the time. How many people know who Scottie Pippen is? How many people don't have any idea? That's okay. Okay, we love you anyway. So, I was amazed when I was there how quick. I mean, his first step was, he would get. It was amazing. But you know what? If even at that skill, if he kept playing and kept playing and kept playing, eventually he would start getting out of breath and his skill would start getting less and less. A good coach notices when his players aren't playing up to their ability, and he pulls them out of the game just for a few minutes to let them catch their breath. God never intended you to be on the battlefield all the time. Life shouldn't be about constant battles. There's battlefields and there's mountaintop experiences, but there's also time to catch your breath. Because if you don't catch your breath, eventually things are going to get harder, and what you knew you could do, you can't do as well. See, I'm a firm believer, if the devil can't stop you from going down the right path, then he'll try to deter you. And if he can't deter you, he'll try to wear you out. He'll try it, and you'll find when you start doing the right thing, all of a sudden other things start showing up. Good things. And you'll get requests and comments and, can you help me? And all of a sudden you were looking for the one thing, and now you got 20 things. Because the truth is, you got to learn what to say no to in every area of life. It's just not just saying no to sin or wrong. There's sometimes you got to say no to good things. Because you can't be everything to everybody. Let me help you out. No matter how spiritual you are, and it doesn't mean you have to be called in full-time ministry. God didn't call everybody in full-time ministry. You stay in the rhythm of who and God's created you to be and do it. God maybe called you to be a CFO. God maybe called you to be a financial planner. God maybe called you to be a business person. God maybe called you to be a stay-at-home mom, a teacher, whatever it might be, whatever God called you to do, do it with all your heart. But you'll find that it's not being Jesus to everybody. You can't solve everybody's problems. It's learning to say, I love you, but I can't help you here. Because some people don't want help, they just want the attention. Well, they will exhaust you. Listen to me. They will overwhelm you because a tactic of the devil to your promised land is if he can't get you from trying, he'll try to overwhelm you so you eventually quit. But God says, follow me and I'll let you catch your breath and send you in the right direction. Let's go back to that next verse in King James, verse 3 in King James. Notice here again, he restores my soul, and then he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. There was three things we see. Number one, he makes you to lie down. That's a contentious thing. That's a thing of, I don't want to, I need to though, and you just start saying, I'm going to do the right thing. But once you start doing that, you start finding the direction of the leading of the Holy Spirit. And guess where he's going to lead you? His first leading is for you to rest and be at peace. And then out of that peaceful state, he's going to lead you on the right path. Because many of us, we strive to find that next path. And God's saying, I'm not going to give you the path because you're wanting more of the path than you want of me. I need you to rest a little. I need you to catch your breath a little. Because the next season, the next phase, I need you to be strong enough to handle it. Because to every level, there's a devil. But don't be afraid of the devils. Don't be afraid of the giants. Because you say, why? Because first of all, you have authority. Secondly, if they weren't there, all your crazy relatives would be there before you got to your promised land. Come on. And we know when the crazy relatives show up, they never want to go home. Isn't it hard to get rid of them? Oh, we gotta go. Oh, we'll go with you. We didn't ask. Okay, just joke. I'll lighten up. Notice, he leads you to a place of rest and before he leads you to the next path. He leads you to a place of rest for you to be refreshed, and then he leads you on the right path for his glory, for his name's sake. Isn't that awesome? If you're struggling, like, God, I'm trying, I'm working, but I'm not finding direction, I'm not seeing progress, maybe you need to slow down a little bit. Maybe you need to rest a little bit. Maybe you need to refresh a little bit. It's amazing how you get there and all of a sudden things start changing. You begin to hear. I've had times where I was working hard to hear, and I heard nothing. And then when I just put it on him and did what he showed me to do, there's times that I've come out of preaching or times just in rest and routine, and all of a sudden, at a restful state, he'd speak to my heart clearly. Folks, it's hard to hear God's direction when you're fighting or when you're in a storm or in a battle. That's not the time to say, God, speak. That's the time to get away and say, God, I just want to be in your presence and rest. Is this helping anybody today? And when you, out of that restful place, I'm telling you, when you get to that place, Jesus said, cast all your care on me. I care for you. You who are burned down with labor and all this, you come to me and take my yoke upon you. And my burden, for it's light and easy. Because when you get to that state, I'm going to focus on you, and I know in time. And sometimes the answer came months later when I wasn't even looking at the time for it, but I was just focusing on him. And he, all of a sudden, I'm open to receive. It'll change your life. Because many of us, we push, we don't hear anything, and we think that's God's okay to say, do what you want. And then we go down a path that he never intended us to go down. And sometimes our paths go for years before we find out the truth of what he wants us to do. That's not that plan of your Heavenly Father. He wants you to follow the shepherd, and he'll guide you in every phase. Amen? We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.